Some of you come from a tradition where you were taught to babble. Just because you have a lengthy prayer does not mean it's a better prayer. Sometimes it needs to be a shorter prayer and more sincere.
This is Straight Talk.
Thank you for listening to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick. I'm with Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church here in Chicago. We are so excited to be able to serve you today. This program is brought to you out of love and passion. We've seen thousands of people impacted by the truth of God's Word, and we're excited to see what God does in your life today. Pastor Mark, today's message is titled The Power of Habits. You've got us in Matthew chapter 6 as Jesus is talking about these things that I think maybe a lot of us don't realize are expectations that are just a normal thing in our life. And you're in the second half of the message today. Where are you taking us here? What can we look forward to?
We're talking about the habits that shape our lives. And as believers, some of those foundational habits are the habits of giving, of praying, and fasting. And let me simply say that we as a church at New Life, we have been fasting for probably 20 years now. We take seasons out of the year to fast. And we fast for Chicago. We fast and pray for breakthroughs in our city. And I'm so happy, really, Joshua, that we are one church among many churches in the city that are preaching the gospel. And we fast, we pray for churches that are partner churches in the city of Chicago. They may be different from us, but there's some awesome churches. And I just want to shout out, for example, to Moody Church that's downtown. Love Moody Church. Erwin Lutzer, who just stepped down not too long ago, good friend of mine. A shout out to churches like Park Community Church with Jackson Crum. They're doing awesome work in the city. Shout out to people like Al Toledo and Chicago Tabernacle that are praying and preaching the gospel, doing an awesome work there. There are so many other churches. Shout out to people like Michael Allen, who is doing a great job there in Uptown Baptist Church. There's incredible churches around the city. And we want you to find a church, join it, get a part of it, find one in your community, make a difference, begin to give, begin to pray, begin to fast, that God would transform our city.
Yeah, thank you for that, Pastor Mark. I love hearing the partnership that runs in deep in the veins here at New Life. We know we're just one small part, but God's kingdom is big. And friends, as you listen today, you are a part of it. May this message encourage you, strengthen you, and pull you into your potential as you also build the power of habits. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 for the second half of this message.
I believe this church is here because we decided years ago when we were just a real small little church struggling financially with very little resources, but we determined we may have needs, but we refuse to be needy. We will give and we will help even though there's all kinds of needs that we have in our own little building, our own stuff, because we refuse to be needy. We refuse to be needy. When it comes to praying, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people and pray on all occasions." We're commanded, exhorted, challenged. Pray, pray. 1 Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. This is a dialogue with God. Acknowledging our weaknesses before God and knowing that there's a God that's greater than us that can only do what we have no power to do. That's prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus." And then fasting. Over and over in Scripture, you'll see this neglected discipline, this ancient discipline of fasting. To a large extent, it's been lost in the 21st century church. It's seldom practiced, ignored, not valued. Why? It's hard. It's difficult. It's challenging. Our fasting has, for some of you came from traditions, you say, well, I always fasted leading up to Easter. But really what that meant is that on Fridays you didn't eat meat. And you overstuffed yourself on fish. You say, well, Pastor, I fasted. No, you didn't fast, you just changed diets. That's not a fast. That's a switch out of diets. Fasting is the abstinence from food or drink for a specific purpose with the intent of pressing in to seek after God. That's fasting. Jesus did it before he started his ministry, 40 days of fasting. Moses did it. It's found throughout all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, this emphasis on fasting, not as penance, not to gain merit before God because we're trying to pay for our sins. That's heresy. Our sins have been paid for in full on the cross of Calvary through Jesus Christ. We don't fast to get rid of our sins. That's been paid for. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. We fast to press in and seek after God so that our physical hunger will remind us of our spiritual drive to seek after God. That's why we fast and pray. Matthew chapter 9, verse 15, Jesus said, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he's with them? Because some people were saying, hey, why do the disciples of John the Baptizer fast, but the disciples of Jesus are not fasting? And Jesus said, hey, they're not fasting right now because I'm with them. How can they fast while I'm with them? They should be celebrating. But he says, the time will come when the bridegroom, speaking of himself, will be taken from them. Then they will fast. We live between the going of Christ and the coming of Christ. We live in the age where Christ left and he will return. This is the in-between time where we have his spirit, but there is a challenge to us today. And so we live in a time where we do fast. We fast and pray. So the Bible tells us that there's an expectation for us. That God expects us to begin to embrace these habits. Number two. Not only does God expect my giving, praying, and fasting, but God sees my giving, praying, and fasting, or God sees the heart with which I give, pray, and fast. You see, he tells us at the beginning of this passage, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. He goes to motive. If the reason you give is so that your neighbors can see you give, if there's a homeless on the street and you pass by and you look to see how many people are around and you stop and you go, people look around, you reach into your wallet, you pull it out. If there's a crowd, you sort of start counting it a little bit, and then you say, God bless you. Hey, can I take a selfie with you? Yeah. Generous giver, post it. I just thought I'd give to this person I saw on the street. No. You've done it so that other people would think you're generous. And what God says, you have your reward. You've just lost the power of your reward. You see, the power of our reward does not come from the applause of other people. The power of our reward comes from our Father. We don't fast for others. We don't give for others. We don't pray for others. We fast, we give, we pray so that our Heavenly Father, who sees us and sees our motives and sees our heart, says, I'm well pleased with your obedient son or daughter. And the Bible says that he guarantees reward. But the moment that you do it for other people, the moment your motives get screwed around and you start changing them, and the moment that your rewards start to be about what other people see or don't see, then you lose the power of your reward. You lose the spiritual power of your reward. You may gain the applause of others, but you lose the reward of God. Are you tracking with me? So Jesus goes on to describe, hey, if you're going to fast, if you're going to pray, if you're going to give, there's ways of doing it and ways of not doing it. And so when it comes to giving, especially to the needy, he says, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets. No, don't announce it. As the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others, truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Instead, he says, But when you give, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that you may be giving in secret, that your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Hello. What he's basically saying is God is looking at the motive of your heart. Two people can give the same amount. Two people can give $100 bills, and one is rewarded by God and one is not rewarded by God, depending on why they give. If one is giving to be seen by others, to be applauded by others, to make sure everybody knows, hey, I gave this, hope you see it. And the other is making sure people don't see, but giving because they're trying to be faithful to God, knowing that God has called me to be generous, then God says, hey, then you will be rewarded. It's about motives here. Hello? You see, hypocrisy is not about what we do. Hypocrisy is what we try to pretend to be that we're not. Are you tracking with me? Hypocrisy is not what we do. It's what we pretend to be that we're really not that makes us hypocritical. And so he tells us about giving, and then he tells us about praying. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. If the only time you pray is in public, and when there's a crowd there, and it's flowery and lengthy so that other people think, wow, man, you are one spiritual dude, then God says, you know, you received your reward. But if you get in your closet, which is, it could be translated storage room. You go down to your basement in your house and you spend time when no one sees you, when no one knows you, and you're walking, you're praying in your basement, calling out for the destiny of your children, calling out for the fire in your heart, praying for breakthroughs in your life, asking for purity in your relationships, calling upon God so that God would soften your heart to hear his voice, so that you would walk in obedience. When you get into your private closet and you pray in your room alone and you pray in your basement alone and you pray, or you get on your knees and you call out to God, there's something compelling, powerful. There's something that God looks at and says, aha, I found one.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled The Power of Habits. It's from our new series called Fully Devoted. And after the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark and his message called The Power of Habits.
Someone that's not praying only when it's in church or only when it's in a prayer meeting, but they pray when no one's looking because they know that their Heavenly Father hears them. And that's the kind of conversation God wants. It says, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Hey, and when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Heavenly Father knows what you ask before you ask him. Just because you have a lengthy prayer does not mean it's a better prayer. Sometimes it needs to be a shorter prayer and more sincere. Some of you come from a tradition where you were taught to babble. By that I mean you were taught that if you repeated a prayer 20 times, God would listen. And you actually had counters. So you know what I'm talking about? Our Father, and you think, yeah, like, whoa, I really did some spiritual thing. No, you just babbled like the pagans. God says, I don't want that. If I went to my wife and said, honey, I have a couple things to tell you. Violets, roses are red, violets are blue. No one is like you. And she said, well, that's nice, honey. She would say the first time. And they said, hey, let me tell you again. Roses are red, violets are blue, but no one's like you. Two. Roses are red, violets are blue, but no one's like you. Three.
Rosa Red, Vice Rosa, she would say, get out of here now. And I'd say, no, no, I'm trying to gain some favor. You're not. Get out of here. Don't babble in front of me. Make it sincere. Make it real. Don't memorize a prayer. I'm not telling you to memorize a prayer. I'm talking you to pray. Yeah. I don't want you to recite a prayer. I want you to pray. I want you to talk to God. I want you to get on your knees. I want you to express your heart. I want you to tell God who He is. People tell me, I don't know how to pray. Can you give me a written prayer? You don't need a written prayer. Do you know how to talk? Yeah. Then you just need to get over the discomfort of talking to God. Some of you are uncomfortable talking to God. You kind of start like, hey, God, it's me, you know. You probably already know who I am, but hey, that's all right. You don't know how to talk to God because you're not really too familiar with God. But when you become familiar with God, when you know Him, when He knows you, then it flows like a friend that you're talking to. He's God, your creator. He's the one that understands you. And then you can talk to Him and open up and pray in the name of Jesus. Oh yeah, there's somewhat of a format, but it's not about the format. It's about the relationship that you have with Almighty God. And the Bible says, listen, God says, when you pray and when we have this dialogue and when I know you're coming to me, God says, I see that, especially in private. And by the way, in verse 8, it says, do not be like them, like the pagans, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And then in verse 9, it says, this is then how you should pray. And then He gives the Lord's Prayer. He doesn't say, this is what you should pray. He says, this is the pattern that you should pray after. The pattern is, start with praise. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then go, thy kingdom come. I do this all the time in my prayer time. I start with praise. Then I say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I start with my God. I want your kingdom to be manifest in my heart, align my attitudes, my heart. Then I go to the circle of my marriage and I pray for my marriage. Then I pray that the kingdom of God will come and His will be done in my children's life. Then I pray for the leaders. I pray for the church. I pray for the city. I pray for the nations. And not just rote repetition, but I'm saying, God, kingdom of God, come, but start with me, Lord Jesus. And then you go on and it give us this day our daily bread. I pray over finances. Yeah, you know what? You could pray over finances. It's okay. God cares. And then you pray on through that. And then fasting. He goes on and he talks about fasting. God sees our fasting as well. And he says, and when you fast, do not look somber like the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you that they have received their reward. So that it will be obvious to others, but and he says, so when you fast, don't fast so that it's obvious to others, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Hello. So the Pharisees used to fast twice a week. And Jesus didn't say, no, don't fast. He just said, when you fast, don't fast so that others know you're fasting. So you show up on Sunday. Your hair's not combed like mine. You put on your sort of lousiest clean the house clothes. You don't put any makeup on. And you show up to church. People say, are you sick? No, no. Are you okay? Yeah. Well, what's wrong? I don't want to tell you, but I'm fasting. You see, you just botched messed up your reward. Because you're trying to let them know how hard fasting is and that you're fasting. And the Bible says, hey, don't do that. When you're fasting, dress like you normally dress. Put the makeup on like you normally put it on. Get ready. You don't go around with a face that's always trying to tell people you're fasting so that people know that you're spiritual, because you've gotten your reward. God says, do it in secret. Now, there is a place for corporate fasting. So we're fasting together. We're starting to fast today. At the end of the service, in a couple of minutes, I'm consecrating a fast. The Bible talks about corporate fasting. So it's not a secret. We're all fasting together. And what you choose to do in your fast, that's between you and God. Some of you will do a juice and water fast for 21 days. That's hard. Some of you will do a mixture and you'll fast two meals and eat in the evening. Some of you have very physical jobs and you can't do an extreme fast, but there's ways of fasting. So we've called everybody throughout all of New Life. There's thousands of people that today are consecrating a fast. Why? It's not a secret. So we're fasting together. We're calling upon God together. Together we're saying we as a church need the living God's hand in our life. We are declaring, God, that your presence is more important than food to us, Father. And that our spiritual, our physical hunger reminds us of our spiritual need for you, God. And so we are fasting and praying not only for this church, we're fasting and praying for our vision, and we're fasting and praying for our personal lives. And as you start 2018, this is a great way to start the year as you press in to seek after God, to pray, to fast, to have a generous heart before God, and to say, God, what are the things that you're trying to do in my life in 2018? If you have nothing, then maybe you're a little hard of heart. Because I think if your heart was sensitive to God, you'd say, man, there's a lot of areas, God, that I need you to work on. And if you got it all settled in your life, then pray for others. You should have some people in your life. There's power when we fast and pray. There's something that happens when we fast and pray. Every major breakthrough that we've had as a church has come on the heels of fasting and praying. And so, lastly, let me close with this. Not only does God expect it, God sees it, but lastly, God rewards it. And verse 4 says about giving, so that your giving may be in secret, then your Father who sees what is done will reward you. What does it mean will reward us? It means that God sees and that God promises he's going to reward. That reward is not just eternal reward. That is reward here on earth. In other words, the favor of God flows to those that are generous and have a generous heart and say, God, I'm going to move forward understanding that the resources that you have given me are not just mine. I will be a giver. Then it says, verse 6, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. It's talking about prayer. You really want prayer that breaks through? The Bible says when you pray in Jesus' name, in faith, believing, God will not ignore the prayers lifted before him, especially those prayers that you pray in secret, pushing before God, calling upon God, pressing in to know God. God says, I will reward it. These are guaranteed rewards from God. So it requires a measure of faith on our part to say, yes, God, I believe you. I believe you enough that I'm willing to give. I believe you enough that I'm willing to pray. And then he says about fasting. Listen, in verse 18, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. These are guaranteed rewards by God.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Job from New Life Community Church in Chicago, and this concludes the message, The Power of Habits, which is from our series called Fully Devoted. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the next message called It's Not Over Yet. As I mentioned earlier, Straight Talk Radio is a ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe of New Life Community Church in Chicago. And if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. You can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 200 other messages from Pastor Mark, along with a Bible app that will help you with your walk. I also invite you to visit one of our 25 life-giving New Life locations near you this Sunday. Check out all our locations at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. All the locations and the time they meet are there, and we would love to meet you. Tell them you heard about them on Straight Talk Radio. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark and our Straight Talk team. Thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk. Have a great evening. God bless.